What's up? All right. Actually, I wasn't supposed to leave worship tonight, but Pastor Dustin, he gave me a call like an hour ago, and Kayong was kind of sick, so he asked me if I could leave worship. So that's okay, you know. It's my blessing, but I'm preaching tonight. I still get nervous when I preach, but God is training me, and He's giving me faith to step forward. So after maybe like 50 sermons, maybe I'll get better. Let me tell you about San Antonio. San Antonio was really awesome. Right when I got off the airplane, I met my brother Paul and my two cousins, Jennifer and Andrew, and my cousin's daughter, Emily, who's like 9 months old. So it was really awesome to see my family for the first time in about 2-3 years. We were joking around. My brother and I have a similar sense of humor, and only we can relate with one another. So it was really good to really be embraced by my brother. Everything I said, he smiled, he laughed, he responded. Everything he said that was dumb, and I responded, I laughed. So it was, you know, that's why we're brothers. So it was good. It was all good up until we went outside, and I realized I came to the desert. I realized that it was really hot and humid. San Antonio weather is not really the best, but it was a good... It was good to be in the hot weather. But more than the hot weather, what was a blessing was a worship night that we had planned on the first Friday that I got there. And my parents were calling me from America to Korea, like before I came. My mom was freaking out. Was like, are you ready? Are you prepared? She didn't say 미친놈아, but she was really freaked out because I was like, I'm ready. 어머나 잘할 거야. Like, and she's like, you don't know what's going on. Your poster is all over San Antonio. And when I got there, like, my poster was all over San Antonio. Like, and it's my profile picture where I don't look like myself. Right? It's really embarrassing. And when I went into the church to practice, they had like this huge banner, like the size of the whole church wall. It was my face. And it was not a blessing. It really was not. It was a burden. It was a burden. So when I got on the stage that night, you know, I had to make an apology for that, for my face, you know. I said, I'm sorry, you know, about this big picture of mine. It wasn't my idea. My mom did it, you know. But it was a blessing because that night at the worship concert, the kids that I grew up with in my youth group, they came. The first time I saw some of them in like 15 years. They came to that place. The kids that I used to minister in a small town called Killeen, Texas, when I led worship, when I did my first youth ministry, those guys came 3.5 hours from Killeen. They drove. And the kids that used to be babies, they're like now taller than me and wider than me. And they came. And then the youth ministry in San Antonio, those guys came. So every person that I actually encountered in my ministry years and in church, and those people, they all gathered all together. All 300 of them, they gathered in the sanctuary. A lot of ajummas came too, who saw me when I was like really little with small eyes, and I still do have those small eyes, but they all came, and it was a night of powerful worship. It was a night of people surrendering their lives to God. They came up to the stage and they knelt before God. Even the main pastor, he committed his... I mean, of course, you know, he loves God. I mean, he's Christian, of course, but he committed his heart to God. His 9-year-old son gave his life to Jesus and said he wants to be used by God. And more than anything, it was a time where I could share the story of God's work in my life. Ever since San Antonio, He took me from the ghetto of San Antonio, or the boondocks, where we have nothing but pork brisket and mountains and cattle and horses, to the big city of Seoul, Korea, to be a culture minister for the nations. And it was a story of God's faithfulness. And I shared that story. You know, I shared about JSCM as well. And it was a real powerful night. So why did I go to San Antonio? It wasn't just to eat the good steak. Actually, I shouldn't be talking about steak in Korea, right? It wasn't to just have fun with my brother Paul, but it was to be a blessing. Why do we go to America? Why do we choose the certain career jobs and choices that we make? Why do we make the choices that we make? It's because we want to be a blessing. Amen? And tonight, I guess I want to share with you a sermon, a message that God put on my heart, and it's to be a blessing. God's called me to be a father of many nations. I share this wherever I go. Not just Korea, not just Texas, but the nations. God has given us a calling to go out to all nations and to preach the gospel and to be a father and a mother of many nations. But alongside that, the calling of Abraham is not just to be a father of many nations, but a source of blessing. I'll be a blessing to those who bless you. And actually, we read it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. You will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Amen? That's a promise. And if that's a reality, that's so amazing. You and I will be a blessing to people that we don't know. A 9-year-old kid that I never met. An ajumma, she cried her eyes out. Black, white, Hispanic, half Korean. In all nations, they will be blessed through me. They will be blessed through you. Not just the nations, all peoples, even your family members. And my brother, he was blessed. My brother, he wrote on his Facebook. He just made a Facebook. He said, Paul is ready for change. And that took like 8 years, guys, for him to say that he's ready for change. God can use you to be a blessing to all people. Amen? How many of y'all want to be a blessing tonight? Not just tonight, but every day. Amen? We want to be a blessing. You know, I came upon a verse this week that really encouraged me. It's in Proverbs verse 11, chapter 11, verse 25. Proverbs 11, 25, and it says this. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Amen? And that's just the main prayer request of my life, I think. And that's, I want to be a person that refreshes others. Even if I'm not refreshed. But the good thing is, I am also refreshed by that. When we are a blessing, and God gives us so much more blessing. And tonight, I just want to share just three principles that may help us be a blessing. That helps me, for sure. Number one, be positive. And we hear this a lot. Be positive. But I believe to be a blessing, at the core of your being, we need to be positive. Every response that we have, the thoughts that we think, most of the time we're trained to be negative. We tune into that wavelength. Whenever someone says something, we get sarcastic or cynical, or we get negative, or we see the downside of everything. That's human nature. That's our sin nature. But we can train ourselves to tune into the wavelength of being positive. Amen? And being positive, it requires faith. It requires faith. Apostle Paul says this, don't look back, but look forward to the promise. Move in faith. And we read in this text about Abraham and how he had faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham, by faith, he lived his life. And I pray that at the end of my life, that Brian, by faith, he came to Korea. By faith, he went to Texas. By faith, he is recording his album. By faith, he makes certain choices and decisions. By faith. And I pray that that will be the pattern of our lives as well. If you look with me in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, it says that you will be a blessing, right? It says you will be a blessing. But actually, the original Hebrew text, it's not you will be a blessing, but be a blessing. Not you will be, but it's a command. The original Hebrew text, what God is saying is you will not just be a blessing, but be a blessing now. It's a command from God. It is not a prediction. And God commands each and every one of us. It's not an option. He commands as sons and daughters of God to be a blessing, to be a blessing, to be a blessing. In verse 2 to 3, Abraham is said to be blessed or blessing more than five times. Five times or more to be a blessing. A blessing. You'll be blessed. God is all about blessing his people. And Abraham, he didn't just call Abraham a nation. You know, like in chapters prior, God names like 70 nations. But God calls Abraham to be what? A great nation. Among 70 nations, God calls us to be a great nation. And Abraham, he calls, God ordains his name to be great. And this is funny because God actually frustrates the plan of the people who built the Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves. They're trying to make a name for themselves, but God, he frustrates and he destroys and he just messes up their plan. But Abraham, in contrast, he says, your name will be great. And that's what God promises me, and that's what God promises you tonight. Your name will be great. And it's funny because when we try to make a name for ourselves, it doesn't work. When we try to build our career up, and especially as a musician, you know, when we try to make a name for ourselves, and we started with Cry, K-R-Y, and, you know, career, revive yourself. And I mean, we had good motives, but I believe God's brought me a long way because maybe I might have had my own personal gain or my personal desires involved. So one day, God brought a different artist with the same name, and their name's Super Junior. Super Junior, they came out with a project team called Cry, K-R-Y. Isn't that crazy? So we were like, man, this is messed up. That's our name. That's our name. And Super Junior, they're like the biggest company, SM, you know? They have the most money. They're the most powerful. So I was like, that's our name. But yeah, we'll give it to you guys. Because you're SM. No, but actually in my heart, you know, I was really frustrated. And it felt like God was frustrating our plan, you know. God brought us a long way with Cry. It was a new name. We started with G2G, generation to generation. We couldn't use that name anymore. So we started with Cry, but then that was frustrated. But when we really commit our lives to God, and when we say, Lord, it's not my name, it's your name. It's not my glory, but your glory. God, he blesses you even more. And he gave us a new name called Cry-Gen. Cry-Generation. And no one's taken our name so far, so praise God for that. God, when we try to make a name for ourselves, he frustrates. But when we surrender our lives to God, he makes even our name great. You know, the best thing about Abraham, I believe, was not just, you know, his character or just who he was, but he had deep, unwavering faith. His faith never shook. I'm sure it shook here and there, but most of the choices that he made were, actually all of them were in faith. When God promised him, you know, that you will be a father of many nations, but he had no son for like 25 years. You know, if God said, I'm going to be a blessing, and for 25 years, my album never sells, or for 25 years, we never like go on radio, or for 25 years, it's a struggle, then, you know, I'm like Harabaji by then, you know, it's too late. I can't be a musician, you know, I need to like be a CEO or something, you know. But God, he really gave Abraham a gift, and that's unwavering faith. So I guess my first point is to be positive, and to be positive, it requires a lot of faith. The second principle, if we want to be a source of blessing, is that we need to learn to give. Be a giver, not a taker. Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, there's a conflict with his nephew, Lot. And Abraham, he actually gives Lot the first choice of the best land, or of the land, and Lot chooses the best land. And if I was Abraham, you know, I would really be mad because I'm the uncle. It's because of me that he's being blessed. I brought him along. He's like younger than me, you know. It's my right to have the best land, the promised land. But they're sharing that land, and Abraham, he gives Lot the first choice. And I would just call him, man, Seki, you know, Seki, somewhere. And I would have like just and hated on him, you know, even though he's my nephew. I mean, I would love my nephew, you know, but in this situation, it would be a dilemma. But Abraham, he showed a lot of grace. He showed great graciousness. And I believe God asks us, not asks us, but calls us. Not just calls us, but commands us to be gracious. Amen. God commands us. He calls us to be a giver because He is the ultimate giver. He is so gracious. Abraham was gracious. Lot chose the most fruitful Jordan Valley. The soil was rich. There are springs underground that watered the soil. The climate was warm, sunny throughout the year. The region was known for great agricultural products like pechu, dates, balsam. Is that how you say it? Balsam? For oil, for ointments. He was a giver. He gave the best land. But when he gave, God in chapter 13, verse 14, he said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, because I have prepared for you a better land. Lift up your eyes. And God repeats his promise from before, but he's more specific. He says, you will have an heir, a son, from your own seed, from your own body. Abraham couldn't believe it. You will have a son from your own body. Number two, promise. Abraham and your descendants and you will have the land forever. And your descendants will be innumerable. Innumerable. I say innumerable. Sorry. Innumerable. Let's say innumerable. Innumerable. Yeah, that's a hard word. Innumerable. Innumerable. Yeah. Man, I'm an English major, dude. I feel bad for UT Austin for misrepresenting, but... innumerable, right? You can't count the descendants. You can't count your heirs. You can't count. But right now, yeah, he can't count at the moment because he has nobody. He doesn't have Isaac. He's got nothing. Right now, God's got a vision for you. He got a promise for you, but you have nothing. You have nothing. He gives you a promise every week out. He blesses you. You know, he gives you, his indwelling of the Spirit. You know, he gives you faith. God's going to use you, but you got nothing. That's why we need faith. But it will happen. And it only happens when we give. It doesn't happen when we take. And as Koreans, and as people living in Korea, or just in this culture, Koreans are takers. Honestly. We're takers. You know, we go to the market. We go to the shopping mall. We want a discount. Only in Korea. Only Koreans. My uncle and aunt came to North Star Mall in San Antonio 10 years ago, and they're like, give me discount. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. This does not happen in America in a shopping mall. You know? Give me discount. 10%. I'm like, 삼촌, 안 돼요. 안 돼요. I'm like, go home. It was so embarrassing. But that's Korean culture. We're takers. And, you know, I understand, you know, yes, we need to be takers if it's fake. You know, like Itaewon, you know, instead of Nike, we have Nice, you know, or instead of Puma, we have Pama, you know, instead of, like, Reebok, we have Leebok, L-E-E-B-O-K. 진짜 Leebok이야, 이거 Leebok. No, it's Reebok. You know, my favorite is, it's not Tommy Hilfiger, but Tommy Hilfiger. You know, I saw that once, Tommy Hilfiger, and that was really, it was really not right, you know. So, in those instances, we can take, amen? Because it's not real. It's fake. Chaga, it's fake. It's fake. But if it's real, if it's not Hilfiger and it's Hilfiger, right? If it's real, then sometimes we need to give. Sometimes we shouldn't just take and take, but we need to give. And when we give, God, He gives us so much more. You know, in Malachi, He talks about tithing, right? When we give our whole tithe, it says that He will open up the floodgates of heaven. Amen? See what I will do. It will overflow. Simply when we tithe. Simply when we give 10%. Imagine when we give 20%. Imagine when we give our whole life to God. When we tithe, not just our life, but we tithe every aspect of our life. And we give more than 10%. Imagine what He will say to us. Lift up your eyes. Even now, you know, financially I struggle sometimes and God tests me. And when I get like a donation or a blessing, you know, and I want to just keep that to myself. But God's like, don't just tithe that, but give 50%. I'm like, no. But I do it in faith. I do it in faith. And I know, I'm sure a lot of us, we step out in faith. But God gives so much more. And God encourages Abraham to walk through the land, right? Not just look at the land, but He says, walk through the land. And actually, back in the old time, when an army, they were victorious, they won a battle, actually, they would march through that land. It was claiming victory. After they defeated their enemies, and the army would march through that land. And God is telling Abraham, march through that land. walk through that land. And God is telling me, Brian, although you don't see it right now, in faith, march through that land. SBS, you know, before we ever came on SBS, before we ever came on KBS, we went into SBS lobby, me and Daniel, and we were drinking coffee. You know, we're like, oh my God, that's you just Hulk. I'm like, wow, you know, we should get his autograph. You know, and we were there, and we're just walking through SBS. We were just walking around, and we were praying. We were praying because we knew, and we prayed that God would give us SBS. Ever, a long time before we ever stepped into a pangsong at SBS. And a year later, God took us to a radio show called a Culture Show. And it's the number one radio show in Korea. And we went there, and you know, God really lifted us up. You know, as a number one search word was Cryogen that day, and number nine was Kim Brian that day. But God, He answered that prayer. And it's when we step out in faith and we claim that territory and we march through that land. And it only happens when we give. Because you know what? When we give, He outgives us. Whenever I gave in these last 11 years of my walk with Christ, God always outgave. God always outgave. And I believe Abraham knew what it really meant to worship. He didn't just keep, you know, anything to himself, but he gave up the claim to any advantage. You may want an advantage in your workplace. You may want an advantage, a step up, something that will help you move forward, a promotion at work, in your school, even in church. But God, He calls us to give up that claim to any advantage, even if it may seem to disadvantage us. But when we give that to God, that is worship. Worship, what is it? It's not music. Worship is surrender. Worship literally means to expose the back of our neck before God, before a king. And the king, you know, he can just step on our neck and we can die. But that's what worship is. It's surrender. It's giving. It's giving and not taking. And I guess I would like to ask myself and us here, are you worshiping like this? Are you a giver? Do we trust God enough to let go sometimes? Do we trust God enough to allow others to have the advantage? Even when we're parking. When we see an empty parking spot, and there's another guy trying to fight with me, I just go right in. That's what I do. Sometimes. Most of the time. All the time. But God said, give him the parking spot. Amen? It takes faith. And as you said, amen, some of us, we didn't believe it, you know? But it takes faith. That's the mindset. It's being a giver. That's being a blessing. Because we know that God will outgive us and He will bless us even more. There's a guy named David Robinson that I always talk about. He's a 7-footer, all-time MVP, NBA world champ, Olympian, Naval Academy officer. He is one of the most respected NBA athletes in the history of NBA. But he, in the community of San Antonio, he's a hero. More than the achievements on the NBA floor, he started a school for underprivileged kids called the Carver Academy. And that school has blessed so many young people of San Antonio. He has donated so much of his money. He has donated so much of his time to be a blessing in the community. And when I see David Robinson, I see him walking just like Abraham was walking in this modern generation, in this modern age. He said, actually, he spoke at a fundraiser, and he's a hardcore Christian, and it's a secular event. And he went there to, you know, he was supposed to encourage the good cause, the charity, right? And he went there, and all he did was share his testimony. He was like, I love God. This is when I was saved. And all the guys were like, and they're like all businessmen. And he gave his testimony. He's a culture minister. And he said this, when I won the NBA championship, and the next day, and he retired. And the next day, he was sitting in his truck. And he had like a nice truck, I believe. And he was just praying to God, like, God, it can't get any sweeter. It can't get any better, Lord. And God just like smacked him. Like, It's going to get 1,000 times better than this. Don't be satisfied. This is just the beginning of my life and my calling for you, David. And David Robinson was so moved that night. All the championship rings, all the medals, all the career achievements, all the trophies that were in his house, and all his acclaim is nothing compared to what God has prepared for him. His family, time with his wife and his kids, being a youth pastor at his church, serving the community, being the main director of a young school for us, for aspiring kids, and sharing his testimony to millions. Every time he signs an autograph, signing a verse, signing God's word with that. And I believe as we give, just like David gave, just like Abraham gave, God will give us so much more. If we refresh others, we will be refreshed in return. And of course, we're not doing it to receive something, but that's just part of it. You know, that it comes with the plan. It comes with the choice if we move in faith. So number two was to be a giver and not a taker. And lastly, in order for us to be a blessing, we must be lovers. You must be a lover. Amen? Are we lovers? Who's in love tonight? I'm sorry. We have to love Jesus. Amen? We have to love Jesus. In Korean, if I would say this, I'm like, 우리 수님이 사랑해야 돼, 수님이. They're like, who's 수님이? 예수님. I'm sorry again. Can you erase that from the podcast? Okay. We must be lovers of Jesus Christ. Amen? The only way to be a blessing is when we receive God's love and we give that out. The only way to be a blessing is because of Jesus, not because of our own good nature. We must receive the light of His love. It says in Hebrews 10:32, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. We have to receive it first to give. We cannot give what we don't receive. We cannot give what we don't have. And it's kind of like that donkey that was riding into Jerusalem, that on Passover, Jesus Christ, He rode that colt. And He went into Jerusalem and people were like, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King is here. And they were worshiping, they were praising. And the donkey was like, wow, they're worshiping me. Wow, I'm so awesome. Look, they're putting their clothes like on my feet. And wow, you know, they have these palm branches. And wow, they're like, Hosanna. And I'm, man, I must be like good, you know. I'm sure the donkey was feeling like that. But the only reason why the donkey was like that was because the guy who was on top of him, that's Jesus Christ. It's only because He was holding on His back the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Hosanna, the only one who is worthy of praise, and that's Jesus Christ. And every time I worship, every time I do a concert, sometimes I get confused. People are like, oh, Christian. Not that many people. like two people, yeah, so... It was a good concert. Can I have your autograph? You know, and it's just like one guy, you know. But even those times, I get confused. Man, I must have done a good job. Wow, I think I'm a good singer. But the only reason why I'm there is because of the one who is in my heart. The only reason why there's applause is because the people are applauding the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I believe as we become lovers of Jesus Christ, and as we are filled with the light of His love, as we put Him into our lives, people will see the light of Christ, and they will be blessed because of the one in us and the one we serve. Amen? People will be blessed. They will see you on your campus. They will see you in the workplace. They will see you at church. They will see you, but in you, they will see something greater. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? And with that, God will bring favor. We talk about favor, but the only reason why there's favor is because God inside of us. It's when we carry God. It's when we carry the presence of Jesus Christ. That's when favor comes. Amen? In every aspect, in every ministry of your life. And tonight I want to conclude with a testimony, and just I believe our lives, you know, it's a constant testimony. Every day is a testimony of God's fingerprint and God's presence in our lives. And when I went to America, you know, I went with a heavy heart because I shared in my last sermon the one thing, and I saw that on the podcast, and the one thing actually, the worship leader that was my very first worship leader in high school, he emailed me for the first time in like 15, 20 years, and he said, "Brian, I heard your sermon, the one thing." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "It's been 15 years, you know?" And he's like, "I was really blessed. You know, I have a family, I have kids, and it's been kind of hard for me to really focus, but through that sermon, God really spoke through you." And that was just amazing, you know, that I could be a blessing to the guy who actually inspired me to become a worship leader. And that's a side note, I'm sorry. That's no point. That's no relevance with the sermon, you know? But it's a blessing, right? I'm trying to bless, you know, refresh. You're smiling, so that's good. But the testimony is, I went to America with a burdened heart because I told my CEO that I want to break the contract and I want to just record the K-pop album and everything else I'll do by myself. The worship album, the English worship album that's coming out in November, I have to invest $30,000 of my own money. And I'm like, "Lord, I haven't even gotten paid in 1 year. Lord, it's hard to pay my rent right now. Lord, I'm starving. Lord, help me. I need money. $30,000? But I stepped out in faith. And I met with my producer, and we just got it going right before I left for the States, and I had no money. And so I went. And I can't say that God gave me $30,000 because He didn't. But I met a guy named Moo. His name Moo Young. And I met him back in Killeen when I was a worship leader there. And I we kind of worked together. You know, I was kind of mentoring him as well. And I met him in Dallas. He picked me up at the airport when I visited Dallas. And I shared with him my vision. I shared with them the calling of CryGen, that we want to bring revival to Korea and to this generation through worship. And that my vision is still in my heart, that my heart is still beating with passion, just like it was 10 years ago. And I told Moo Young, "My heart is the same. I'm actually more passionate now than I was when I was with you in Killeen." And I was just sharing with him like all the testimonies and the, you know, just what happened, you know, $30,000, you know. And I said, "God's going to move all the finances into my bank account." You know, I was telling him that in faith, you know. And after that, I went to the bathroom in his house. And I came out, and he had an envelope ready for me. And you hear other people talking about this, but, you know, in this first time, you know, I was like, "Wow." You know, I was like, $30,000? No. But it was, yeah, not $30,000, but he said, "Hyung, this is 1% of what you need to start your vision." And he gave me the envelope, and I was like, "What's 1% of $30,000? I still don't know. What's 1% of $30,000? Okay, good. He was right, yeah. So I opened the envelope, and there was $300. And that's not easy money, you know. He started his own company, and his office is his room. And he makes videos and stuff, and I don't think he's like financially affluent. He's starting his business too, you know, but he saw the vision, and he felt God was compelling him to give that 1% in faith. And that really encouraged me a lot. That really showed that God, He will fulfill His promise. It shows that God outgives what I can ever give to Him. It shows that God is committed to making me a blessing. God is committed for that worship album. God is committed more than me, more than I want it, He wants it. Because He knows the nations will be blessed. And I believe when we have a vision that is selfless, when we have a vision that is not about us, but it's about His glory, then God would move the hearts of people. More than anything else, He will stir people's hearts to respond to this calling, but more than anything, for us to be a blessing. And tonight, I guess I just want to end with those three points once again, and that's be positive. We can't be negative. We got to be positive. We have to be filled with faith. Number two, be a giver, not a taker. In every circumstance, every day you will have an opportunity to give, but also every day you will have an opportunity to take. We need to be aware of that. But when we give, God outgives us. And when we take, there will be repercussions. There will be. Maybe not momentarily. Innumerable. And lastly, God has called us to be a blessing. When we love Sunimi, when we love Jesus, like that donkey who had Jesus on his back. Amen?